You're listening to Back to Us Radio on the Back to Us Network.
Who have I become? Who have I become? Who have I become?
Who have I become? Who have I become? Who have I become?
Throat tight, midnight. Wait up by the lamplight like a housewife. Can't sleep, can't sing. Staring at the phone, still it won't ring, won't ring. Get back.
Good evening, Strong Stance listeners. I hope you are well, wherever you find yourself this month. I recently presented at the FTM Fitness Conference in Atlanta. It was 3 days of speakers, breakout sessions, and events focused on the acknowledgement, discussion, education, and celebration of transgender fitness in all its forms, physical, emotional, mental, and even financial. This was the second year for the FTM FitCon, which will soon be going through a rebranding of sorts, but we'll get to that later. For most people that have heard of FTM FitCon, they know it is the first FTM bodybuilding competition, but that event is just one aspect of the conference. In addition to the historic bodybuilding competition, there was a fashion show, morning boot camps, a wellness fair, more than 20 workshops and discussions, and a closing ceremony and reception. Among the keynote speakers were Buck Angel, Ryan Salins, Dr. Courtney Ziegler, and Tracy McDaniel, who has appeared on the Strong Stance a number of previous times. I attended the conference in a number of different capacities. Primarily, I was there as a session presenter, but I was also there as an attendee and as press. In tonight's episode of the Strong Stance, we're going to do something a little different. I'll talk a bit about my session presentation and my experiences as an attendee, but more importantly, I'll talk to a number of the attendees as well as FTM Fitness World founder and president, Neo Sanja. You won't want to miss this, so stay tuned. The session that I presented is one that I've given a couple times in previous years, and it's called Where's My Checkered Flag? Preparing for Life After Transition. And the main premise of this is that as trans people, especially very early in our transition, for those of us that are choosing to transition, oftentimes we focus so much on the finish line and that myth of the moment of transition, and we don't often focus so much or even think about what happens after that transition, this idea that there is a finish line, the end game. And, you know, what I try to talk about in this session is there really is no finish line, that you have to kind of prepare for your life that goes beyond this and not look so much at this as an endpoint. And what often happens when we don't prepare for this life after is that when we spend all our energy and all our money and all our time and effort and all the other things that we give over to getting us to that moment, that when we've crossed past that moment, there can be somewhat of a letdown. There can be a feeling of emptiness. And where a lot of that feeling comes from is the loss of a purpose. So in this session, I talk about the ways in which we can use our time to prepare for life after someone has crossed that imaginary line, wherever that line exists for that person. I talk about building community and facing your fears and preparing for the worst but hoping for the best. And it's really all an effort to get folks to look at all the different aspects of their lives rather than having tunnel vision for just the prize of transition. And I do this not only with, you know, a couple of ideas that I discuss, but also with some anecdotes, not only from my transition, but from other friends' transitions and people that I have known. And I hope that folks will walk away from that lecture having hopefully learned something new, and hopefully a feeling that there are great things that can help them enjoy life before, during, and after the process of transition. Because very often when we have to wait to transition, whether that's because we can't afford it or because we're waiting for a certain age or someone to be accepting or whatever the case may be, that we can find ourselves in somewhat of a depression because we feel like our life has not started yet, because we are having to wait for our real life, our life in our correct body, in our correct mindset, however someone finds that in their life. We're waiting for that to start. And what often ends up happening happening is that if that's not fast enough, we can find ourselves kind of stuck in this darkness. And so by finding small ways that every day you can empower yourself to basically get to that next day, to basically say that I am actively choosing to be on this path of transition every day, it can lift you up out of that darkness, because it's not like it's never going to happen. And you can see every single day as getting you one step closer to wherever that line, or however you define that line. And honestly, it can also help you so that after, again, you don't have that letdown, that when you set a goal and you accomplish it, you set another goal. And when you meet that one, you set another goal. So it's a lecture that has kind of evolved over the last couple of years. The older that I get, the longer I have been on this path, as well as more people that I meet and more conversations that I have. And so this particular one was, I felt like it was really good. There was some good feedback. We had a multi-generational group that was in there. I feel like I learn as much giving it as I hope that folks learn from sitting there and hearing it, probably more so. Up next, I'll talk to some of the attendees and presenters about their experiences at this conference. While I was at FTM FitCon, I had the opportunity to sit down with a few attendees and presenters to find out, you know, what experiences they were having at this conference, why they felt that conferences like this were important, what sessions they enjoyed the most, what they were getting out of the event. And I think that it's really important to kind of hear those answers from a multitude of people so that we can see the varied response that each person is bringing into this realm, their own biases, their own experiences, and therefore they have their own needs and their own views as to what is most important about this event. Also, in order to respect everyone's personal level of comfort when it comes to being out in a public space, I allowed the attendees and presenters to give me either their full name, just their first name, or a pseudonym if they so chose. Now, the audio that you're going to hear is not edited much. It's pretty rough. And the reason why is that the more that you start to edit someone's words, the more that you bring in the biases of the person that is editing and their own personal experiences and their own interpretations. And what I really want for our listeners to hear is each person's raw individual response to a lot of these questions. I tried very hard to be very hands-off when it came to editing so that you could get the true responses that each person had to questions or to the real conversation that we were having without much manipulation, to be quite honest, by my hand. So with that being said, here are the words of five folks that I sat down with on their experiences at FTM FitCon. So can you say your name for me?
Will.
Cool. And what city are you located in normally? Where do you live?
Fayetteville, North Carolina.
North Carolina. And how did you get here? Did you drive or did you fly?
I drove.
Worth the drive? What was that, like, how many hours is that?
5.5 hours. It was worth the drive. I've driven further distances, so it wasn't that bad.
Good deal. How do you identify and what pronouns do you use?
I identify as a trans man, so he is him.
Cool. And is this your first or your second year at FTM FedCon?
This is my first year.
Awesome. Why do you feel like conferences like these are important, either to the larger community or just trans men or just trans community in general?
I feel conferences like these are important because for a trans man like myself, from a city that doesn't have that many trans men in it, or trans people in general, it's a good way to network. It's a good way to be around like-minded individuals. It's a good way to learn about things you wouldn't otherwise learn about in these unique settings.
Cool. And what do you hope to gain from this weekend's events?
I hope to gain a larger network of trans men. That was my point of coming, that was my goal here, was to meet other trans men, network with other trans men, just be around other people that affirm my identity.
Absolutely. And then last question, if you have one picked out, what session or event have you enjoyed the most, or which session or event are you looking forward to the most?
I am looking forward to transitioning from a legal perspective. That's going to be tomorrow. And only because I have transitioned legally my name, but I'm interested to learn some other aspects of it, and I just am interested in that.
Cool. Thank you. Is there anything else you want to share?
Nope.
Cool. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
JB Fuoco.
And where do you live?
I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Awesome. So I assume you drove here.
I did drive here.
Not a flight.
I did not fly in.
Okay. How do you identify and what pronouns do you use?
I use he, his, him. I identify as trans man, trans guy.
Cool. Is this your first year or second year?
First year.
Cool. Why do you feel like conferences like these are important?
I think for me they're important, especially as somebody who's new to the community. I'm less than a year into my transition, so it's a good informational session. It's good to meet new people. It's good to network and kind of be able to talk to, you know, the trans forefathers and, you know, what's your experience and, you know, what you can learn from other people's experiences is, I think, more valuable than what you can read in a book.
Right.
I also think that the healthcare world has not caught up to us yet, and so being able to learn from our peers in this community is incredibly invaluable. Mm-hmm. So that to me is why this is important.
Cool. What do you hope to gain from this weekend's events?
Hoping to meet folks and build a community. I don't have a large trans community here. I used to have one when I lived in Portland, ironically enough, years before I transitioned. But it's a very different world out there. I mean, those of us that live in the South, it's a different world. So just kind of being able to find kindred spirits, like you were saying in your session yesterday, community. Like,
yeah,
this is a community building, you know, thing. And again, learning, you know, being able to learn, you know, legal perspective stuff, body stuff, like what workout stuff, like how do you help shape your body to be more traditionally hegemonically masculine, you know, to whatever level is comfortable for you. Like,
right,
that to me, that's
cool. What session or event have you enjoyed the most, or if it hasn't happened, which session or event are you looking forward to the most?
I think two of the ones I really enjoyed, one was the testosterone-boosting foods, because nutrition is so important, and for a lot of things, but that just happened to be the name of the panel. Your panel was actually really great, because it was like, there's no end line, right? Like,
right,
your point was valid, and I think a lot of people get to a point, especially those of us that are early in our transition, that are like, okay, so what's the end line? Knowing that there's no end line. I mean, like, end line is living, right?
Right.
Like, at whatever point. And then the bottom surgery one, to know, like, what options are. Like, I had not previously considered any bottom surgery.
Yeah.
Because I only knew of two options, and neither of them seemed attractive to me, or valuable, or cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
Be at the right level for me. I'm looking forward to the bodybuilding thing, but that's not really my thing, but just more for interesting and validating and, you know, seeing some trans guys be really happy with their bodies and empowering and that kind of a thing. But
yeah, kind of uplifting and affirming that there are all types of trans bodies and that there are all types of good bodies and
right,
shapes and sizes.
Exactly.
So is there any other thing that you'd like to share or anything else you'd like to say or anything like that?
You know, I'd like to see this conference grow. I've never been, like, I've heard mixed reviews about Gender Odyssey. I know the original founder of Gender Odyssey, and when I lived on the West Coast, like, was peripherally in his social circle, and I know about that conference. I know about SoCo, but I've heard, again, mixed reviews about that, and so I would love to see this. This feels like a really welcoming conference of all types, because I feel like from what I've heard from those conferences is that they're very, like, old school mainstream trans.
Gotcha.
for those of our listeners that don't know, when JB refers to SoCo, he is talking about the Southern Comfort Conference, which is a transgender conference started in 1991 that had a long history of being held in Atlanta, Georgia. This year, however, it has been moved to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and coincidentally was going on at the same time as the FTM FitCon. It was from September 29th to October 3rd. If you would like more information on the Southern Comfort Conference or to register for next year's event, you can go to southerncomfortconference.org. Now, back to JB.
And what I like about this one is that it's like a little bit of everybody. Like, there's all age groups, and because there is a bit of an ageism in the trans community and the queer community. And as somebody who's coming out in my 40s, I don't have a lot in common with the 20-year-olds or the 25-year-olds. And 17 is awesome, and I'm so glad that the world has changed, that at 17 that kid has the option to transition and has a welcoming family, but my issues are different. And so I feel like some of those have been more addressed here than I've heard that they've been, you know, in other conferences, just from experience. And so I'm hoping that this one kind of grows and flourishes. And as it does, it keeps that kind of diverse down home, like, it's culturally diverse, which is amazing.
Yeah.
More culturally diverse than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, queer conferences tend to be white.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, like, I've been
and
to create
types
and
are
right
queer cis.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So what I like about this is that it's very outside of the box of all of that, and I kind of hope that it. I'm curious to come next year and hope that it, you know, stays that way.
Yeah, I think that a conversation that I was having actually yesterday about this conference from the first day was that one of the things that I liked about it was that in one session I was in kind of a lecturing type of role, but then in another session I was in a learning type of role, that it kind of addresses needs from all different levels of where you are in whatever your personal path of your transition is. And I found that extremely helpful because I've been to a lot of conferences where we really focus on the folks who need the most help, which are the folks that are just starting out,
right?
But we kind of forget about the folks that have been in it for, you know, 10 years or
right.
whatever the case.
And there are different issues at that point, right? Like, you know, at 10 years, like, you know, I was talking to another guy who was like, yeah, I never had bottom surgery, I never had a hysterectomy because I never thought it was going to, but now 10 years in, I'm having these issues and my doctor's telling me to start documenting them. And as somebody who's early in my transition, I'm like, okay, well, that's something good to know because nobody's talked about that.
Right.
Like, nobody talks about what happens 10 years in, which is, again, why I liked your session, which was like, it's not all about the start.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's what happens, what's the rest of your life look like? Like, what are things that we need to think about? You know, it's, and I think it's something that's happening with the queer community too, is that, like, with the loss of queer spaces, we don't have, we used to have, and at the risk of sounding like an old fart, we used to have gay bars. And you would go to the gay bars, and the old people would be there with the young people, and you would learn from the old people, and you, there was a sense of history and a sense of passing on, and there was a sense of mentoring and, you know, helping that next generation. And I don't feel like, A, the queer community has lost that, because bars have just started to disappear and people are starting to go mainstream and we're not siloing off as much as we used to. And so you don't have that opportunity as much. And I feel like, especially trans, like, I've gotten so much knowledge from friends who have transitioned before me that I really, like, I don't know how to, that's the community I'd like to build. It's like, how do we, and it's not an age thing because we all transition at different points in life. So it's like, how do we think about not just helping people make the decision to transition and answer the questions about how do you change your name? How do you change your markers? How do you get on T? What surgeries do you need to have? Like, it's the questions of what happens later. Like, how do you talk to your kids?
Yeah.
About who dad is.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're having that conversation right now. Like, we're talking about having kids in a year. It's like, I am not one to be stealth. I'm never going to be. To me, it's about visibility and it's about changing things. And I lived as a masculine female for 40 years.
Mm.
Professionally, I can't erase that.
Right.
Personally, I can't erase that. I don't want to erase that. But how do we talk to our kids in such a way that doesn't confuse them that dad is dad?
Right.
But dad, and if I have a boy, doesn't look like you.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like those kinds of conversations need to happen, and I would love to see family and parenting topics added to conferences like this. I think that the other thing is that we need to have, I think we need to make it more comfortable. I think a community that is untapped is the ally community and the partner community of the trans world. My partner went to the Trans Ally She came to the conference today to go to the Trans Ally one. She was the only cis person in there.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're, like we talked about yesterday, they're looking for as much community as we are because they're dealing with issues from society and from other people that are in relation to us. And so it's like, where's their community? Where's their support system? And we could bring that here to some degree, but does it water? Does it not? Like,
yeah.
Some people want families. Some people don't. Some people have partners. Some people don't. Like, it's like, how do we manage that? But, you know,
yeah,
that's something to...
Yeah, I think that Neo is definitely trying to get this conference to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he would like to see it double or triple its size next year. And I think that part of the way that we can help support that as part of the community that have been here before is not only to get the word out about it next year, but also, like, there's this kind of, and not all conferences, but there's this kind of conference thought that the first year you attend... And maybe the second year you attend, the second or third year, you should be presenting.
Right.
Right. So because the more voices there are,
right,
there are more people that it applies to, but we also have to have more people attending in order to fill those spots anyway.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a self-fulfilling.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Anybody who's ever organized a conference knows that.
Of course.
You know, and I've you know, academic panels forever and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's true. Like, it's, I would love to see this grow. And I mean, I think it's a great conference, and I think it's, I mean, it's, God knows it's convenient.
Yeah.
it's very
convenient for those of us in the South,
right,
that can't always go up to Philly.
Right.
Or to some other place.
Or to Seattle for Gender Odyssey every
right.
year.
And now that Southern Comfort has left Atlanta.
Right.
You
we
know,
need another, we need to fill that gap.
Right. There is an organization that, in order to fill that gap, has started an event called the Peach State Conference, and it is this October
right.
here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that's supposed to fill that space.
But
thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to say?
I think this is awesome.
My name's Owen S. It's Owens.
Cool. And where do you live?
Berkeley, California.
Cool. And did you, I assume you flew and not drove?
Yeah.
Was it a good flight?
I flew.
That's good.
It was all right. It was direct.
Okay, so how do you identify and what pronouns do you use?
Male pronouns.
Great. So is this your first year or second year at FDM ThickCon?
First year.
Awesome. And why do you feel like conferences like these are important?
Well, I think this specific conference is special. I've noticed a certain... vibe to it, where it's real affirming, more so than other conferences that I've been to. And it's affirming not only about, you know, our whole selves and our health and things like that, but specifically around fitness, where I think that trans people, perhaps, or even queer people, are not necessarily empowered to pursue fitness goals. I mean, trans people, because it's a body thing, they're the empowerment is not, like, built into our culture for someone to also pursue, you know, challenging goals like bodybuilding. Is it seemed really far outside of something that was accessible to me, and this is a place where that's not just okay, but it's, like, celebrated and affirmed. And so those pursuits of trying to have a more typically athletic body, which does come from culture, you know, like comes from, you know, typical ideas of masculinity per se. I could see how in maybe some trans spaces that would be looked down upon as like trying to conform to something that, you know, that's not innate to humanity or whatever. It's like a cultural code. But that does not mean that I don't still want that for myself. Like, I still want an aesthetic appearance that... Yeah, so it relates back to cultural conditioning. But I still want that because I find it hot. I'll feel really confident if I have, you know, what I feel to be, like, the best I can achieve with the work that I can put into it. And so it's nice to be in a space where somebody isn't going to kind of look at you askance for choosing to pursue something that's like, you know, fraught with you know, cultural codes that I can pursue it for my reasons and in my own way, and I can sort of define my own measures of success. All of that is open to me, and but it was workshop after workshop here, I've run across that attitude where, that positive attitude of like, you define what is your ultimate goal, or you define your own measures of success.
Awesome. What do you hope to gain from this weekend's events?
I feel like I've already gained it. I was hoping I would have the confidence to participate in the bodybuilding competition. I didn't really expect that I would, but I hoped that I would eventually. I thought coming here I would become familiar with the structure of that type of competition and maybe down the road pursue that. But I was fortunate enough to be in the bodybuilding posing workshop, and it just felt like the right time to stand up, even though there were cameras in the room that day. Like, not every workshop has had cameras, but the very first workshop I attended had many big video cameras. Mm-hmm. So it felt risky. I live essentially non-disclosing is a word I was reminded of. I think that fits better with my way of living. And so for me, jumping into stuff like that is a risk. It's more of an internal risk. I don't really feel like it, that there's an external risk, like from jobs or from where I live, because where I live is very accepting, my job's very accepting, but still, they don't know. So, but I kind of unpacked some of that a little. My decisions around disclosure, I kind of unpacked why I have those feelings, and I was able to affirm that that's okay, like that I can disclose when I feel called to, and those other times I'm conserving energy for those times when I'm called. So that's an okay choice to make. It's not like I'm selling anybody out, you know, by kind of not disclosing. So now that I understand a little better where I'm coming from, like why I'm doing it, and then I feel like I can play more with the boundaries of when I'm doing that. So I can choose to participate in something that it might be very public, that they're making a movie, mm-hmm. or an actual, you know, feature film based on the bodybuilding competition or including it. And so there's an inevitability that someone will see that movie.
Right.
Maybe someone I know. Maybe they'll approach me about it. Who cares? Mm. You know, if someone's gone to the trouble of watching a trans film, more power to them. If they want to talk to me about it, all right. You know, I'll probably just be like, yeah, that's no big deal. It's a thing I do. You know, I do bodybuilding competitions. You know, now. I do that now.
It's my thing. So what session or event have you enjoyed the most, or if it hasn't happened yet, which session or event are you looking forward to the most?
Well, tonight's competition is going to be pretty interesting. Yeah. I got a little experience on stage this morning during the pre-judging. I found that totally different parts of it were scary than what I thought. I thought I was going to be obsessing about my body or my skin or my weight, and it turned out that I was more connected with the actual task that I was set to up there, which is, you know, keep everything tight, smile. I was hearing the coaching, and I wasn't sure that I was meeting all those expectations, but I at least knew what I was supposed to be doing, and I was focusing on that, and I wasn't getting down on myself for not being ready for the competition or not being prepared, you know, by practice or various things. Like, things that I would have expected to be held back by were not an issue. Until the moment where I was on the stage by myself, and I was, like, totally not prepared for that. And so I think I'll be more prepared tonight because I got a little coaching in between. And I feel so much more confident now, just with a little bit of coaching and positive feedback from one of the judges. I feel ready, much more ready for this evening. And I did a little more practicing and a little more tanning, and I'm ready to go.
Cool.
So excited.
Were there any, so, you know, I think that one of the things that you and I have talked about both inside and outside some of the sessions is that one of the great things about this conference is it isn't just about the physical fitness. It's also about emotional fitness and mental fitness and things like that.
And we were in a couple of different sessions in the same room. But was there anything, like any one nugget that was not necessarily directly physical that you're going to take from this conference that you felt like was really, whether it was an aha moment of, God, I was just feeling like that the other day, or like, I never really thought about that, or that's something that I need to incorporate in my life. Did you have any of those moments this weekend?
For me, it was mostly language. So I think I'm at a stage in my life where I'm fairly comfortable with where I'm at, where I feel connected to myself. I feel like I respect and love myself, but I don't necessarily have all the language for that to be able to constantly reaffirm that. Or like if I get into a tough spot, maybe I wouldn't be able to talk myself back into that without certain words. It's like I could spend an hour explaining that, or I could use this word that I heard this weekend. So I took a lot of notes, and now I've been revisiting them just to ingrain those things.
Awesome. So that's pretty much it for the questions I have, but one thing that I've been asking everybody is if there is anything else, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are talking about if they plan on coming back next year, or what they would like to see from this conference in the future, or whatever, but other than what we've already talked about, is there anything else about any fashion of, you know, the conference, or how you've kind of found yourself within this space, or found the space itself, or the trans community in general? Is there anything else that you want to share?
Well, I realized that I found this conference by searching on Google. Mm-hmm. And since I don't use Facebook right now, that's probably where it was the most advertised. And that does cut out a subset of people who aren't comfortable with Facebook for whatever reason, either because it's Facebook, mm-hmm. or because their own interaction on such a social network is too exposing. Because, I mean, Facebook is really exposing. So if there was some way to ensure that the word gets out more widely. Also, I did meet some people with some disabilities, but I still felt like the conference, the way the conference is advertised, doesn't necessarily welcome people with disabilities, even if perhaps somewhere in the language it does. Mm. There's something about the word fitness that it can be feel exclusive. So I wonder if there's a way to reach out more and include more people with disabilities, because people with disabilities can be fit too.
Of course.
Just like all of us can be fit with all our different ways.
Right.
So I'd love to see more of that. You know, there's probably some self-selection going on there where they, like, it's sort of too much of a bother to some people to travel, but something about the presentation of the advertising that could be more inclusive.
It's Alexandria Gutierrez.
And where do you live right now?
Orlando, Florida.
Great. And did you drive or fly to get here?
I actually had a friend drive me over. Oh. It was amazing.
Better than flying, you think?
I had a private driver. I cannot complain. And then I'm taking actually a bus back.
Boom. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this your first or your second year at FinCon?
First year at FinCon.
Great. Why do you feel like conferences like these are important?
They're important because it allows us as a space to be open, to be honest, to realize that we're not the only ones thinking specific things, for us to know that we're part of a community, and to educate the public, those who are cisgender and those who are allies that don't quite know what it is. It is good for us to have a safe place to share ideas and thoughts, and I think it is something that needs to continue to grow because it's just empowering the community.
Absolutely. One thing that I meant to ask you before.
Of course.
How do you identify and what pronouns do you use?
Oh, I use female pronouns, and I identify as human.
Very cool. What do you hope to gain from this weekend's events?
What I hope to gain more knowledge, specifically since this event is female to male, is the exact opposite of my journey, which is great because I get to see the entire bubbles where we intersect, where we have the same struggles, and then some bubbles that are completely contrasting, the exact opposite of the things we deal with, and some things I've never thought about the first time that I've come across, and now I'm opening my mind to a lot of other things that people have said. So it's amazing to sort of see outside the bubble and be able to learn, to be honest. And then, of course, be an example and, of course, provide feedback from the opposite perspective, which I think is a good balance.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. What sessions or events have you enjoyed the most? Or if they haven't happened yet, which sessions or events are you looking forward to the most?
I actually just got off the Justice Trans Body Image seminar. It was powerful. It was heart-touching. Justice William, and it was really packed, and it was a way that he created a way for us to open up our hearts, be open, share our thoughts in a safe way, and disarm us. And I think that was a good word, like disarm our preconceptions, and separated us into small groups, and then we share in a big group what our findings. And it was incredible being able to see how wise all of us put together can be.
Absolutely. So I know that you're here as an attendee,
mm-hmm.
but what other things have you done while you've been here? Like presenting sessions or running any kind of things like that?
Right. So this morning I actually led a kickboxing round. So that was a full hour of high intensity cardio kickboxing, and we sweated a lot. Oh my gosh, we pushed hard. I'm starting to be sore, so I'm probably going to stretch in a little bit. But that was so much fun, being able to give him the opportunity to share my passion. I mean, those 60 minutes when we're working out, that is bliss for me. That's when I get to share what I enjoy to do most in the days and share that with others. To me, that is the perfect moment, why I wake up every day. And yesterday in the morning, I had an entire seminar specifically for male to female transgender fitness and nutrition, where my thing was a focus on the effects of hormones and how to use fitness in order to counteract the undesired effects to our physical bodies and how that the mind attaches to that. But it was after going all that material, my focus was on empowering. So things you could do today to get started. Things you can walk out the seminar and say, I'm going to go home and I'm going to start working out today. Having the tools necessary to be successful as opposed to just being a vague idea. I wanted to be concrete and valuable information so that somebody walking out of the seminar says, I know exactly what I need to do. I know where I need to get my mind and I know where I need to get my body. So provide a lot of content to go on our websites and social media to get like nutritional guides, workout videos, and a bunch of material that we have created and put together in one place in order for girls like us to get in shape.
So you presented a session on fitness and nutrition. You ran a physical session for like exercise. So can you talk a little bit about your background and how you find yourself in that kind of space?
I have a background in group fitness. I'm certified in a handful of different formats of group fitness, whether it's like non-contact kickboxing, yoga, Pilates, things of that nature. I'm also certified for a program called Insanity. So that's a very popular one. And that's a program that's close and dear to my heart because I lost 60 pounds in that program. So I know firsthand the struggle. So I love teaching that class because it's high energy, high intensity, and it comes from the heart. It's always mind over matter. Besides that, I'm currently studying to be an NASM certified personal trainer. I actually just have to take the written test. That's honestly the only thing keeping me away from that certification. And I've been working out the last few years, so it sort of went from becoming a hobby to being a full-time job, because now I'm, as a Beachbody coach, is what I do for a living. So it's not just me. That's what a lot of people need to realize. It is me and the coaches in our team. We're about 76 coaches in the organization that we're working our booties off to help our community get in shape. So it's incredible being able to help the community to such a degree, because I can do so much work, but when I have other people who we're doing all this together, it becomes a group effort, and then we can affect hundreds and thousands of lives at the same time.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Is there anything else that you want to say about the conference or about your experience here or anything like that?
I know for a fact that next year is going to be even bigger. They're going to expand that in order to add an entire female track, and I think it's imperative that everybody that can make it, make a trip down here. It's completely worth it. The seminars are high quality and the workouts are definitely high energy.
Absolutely. I agree. I hope that this this gets much bigger next year. I know that NEO is looking to either double or triple it, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be really great. And hopefully I'll see you again next year.
Definitely we'll see you next
year. Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
My name is Liam Mitchum. I'm from Augusta, Georgia. I identify as a 24-year-old trans male, and I use he, him, and his pronouns, and it was my first year at the Atlanta FTM Fit Conference. I believe that conferences like these are so important for many reasons. One being that they form a community more so than any social platform would be able to do. They also curate human connections and bonds and siblingships, if you will. It's just really nice to be able to meet other humans and other people that are on the same path and the same journey as you are. Granted, I know every person's journey is their own, and every individual has their own story to tell. But when you have conferences like these, people can come together and they can share their stories and their experiences, and you know, they can just feel like they're part of something, part of something bigger than themselves, which is something that I think is very important within the community, especially the queer community. And I also believe that these conferences are so important because, you know, especially like the fitness conference, because it promotes body positivity, which I think is really important for all humans, but especially within the trans community. I think body positivity is a big thing because we all just want to be comfortable in our own skin, and I think conferences like these promote that. I hoped to gain a lot from the conference this year. I went there hoping to gain, you know, new friendships and new information and new resources, and I definitely feel like I was able to accomplish all of those goals. I met a lot of awesome people and learned a lot of really valuable things, like information about bottom surgery that I probably would have never had access to had I not been at that conference. And I'm just very grateful that people in the community are able and willing to host events like this to allow the community to come together and share information and promote being trans. And if I had to pick a session that I enjoyed the most, I think that's a very hard question to answer. I enjoyed all the sessions that I was able to attend. I was only able to attend the conference on Saturday, but the three sessions that I did attend were the pre-bodybuilding session. I also attended Saving for Top Surgery, and I also attended the Bottom Surgery Forum. I don't know if I could pick any one favorite because they were all extremely valuable forums, but if I had to pick one, I would probably say the Bottom Surgery Forum was probably my favorite, only because I think it was very courageous what the gentleman did. We did a little thing that was show and tell where men would stand up and they would show us some of their bottom surgeries that they had done. And I, for one, have never experienced anything like that before or even heard of that being done, and I thought that was so awesome of those guys to do because, you know, I think there's a lot of myths out here in the trans community about bottom surgery and, like, does it work or what does it look like or, like, what are my options? And I think it's really hard to find that information online. But to be able to stand in front of a real human that had procedures done and able to ask them questions and see things in real life, and it was just a beautiful experience. I walked out of that room feeling like the future was a lot brighter. And I'm very grateful for it because now I honestly feel like bottom surgery is probably something that I'm going to look into doing in the future, and I look forward to it very much.
So you've heard a number of people talk about where they find themselves at this conference, what they're getting out of it, and where they'd like to see it go. And you've heard the name NEO mentioned a couple of times. So we're going to talk to the man himself. So without further ado, here is the founder of FTM Fitness World and the FTM FitCon, NEO Sanja.
My name is NEO Sanja.
And where are you located? Where do you live?
What city? I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Great. How do you identify and what pronouns do you use?
I identify as a man, as a trans man, and I use the pronouns he and all masculine pronouns.
Awesome. So can you talk a little bit about FTM Fitness World as a whole, as an organization, and the background of why you got that started, how you got that started, stuff like that?
Sure. It's a long story. Well, FTM Fitness World is a company dedicated to empower the trans community in all areas of their life. Originally, we began with trans men, and we wanted to empower trans men in the area of fitness, nutrition, wellness, sexuality, spirituality, and finances. And then we wanted to rebrand, continue to, you know, put it in people's mind that it's fitness for the mind, body, and spirit, and it's not just physical fitness. And we created the first annual FTM Fitness World Conference last year, and then we want to rebrand it to Trans FitCon for the third year, so that we can show that it's also open to trans women and not just trans men, so that we can have two different tracks and things like that. So the reason I started FTM Fitness World, honestly, I started it for me. I wanted to help myself stay accountable with my own fitness goal. I started the group FTM Fitness on Facebook. About 5 people were in the, you know, in the group. We wanted to stay accountable with our fitness, and within a few weeks, it grew into over 800 people. Just because I realized then there were not many FTM fitness groups. And so when I did that, I started a group. I decided to also start a blog and a website. I am not a fitness expert, but I love to read and I can do some research. So that's what I did. I did a lot of research and I rewrote it from the experience of a trans man and how we can help other people. Hopefully what I find, they don't have to find it for themselves, right? And they can just have a resource. And also, when I started to drop ship and sell some t-shirts to be able to cover the website cost and things like that, that's when I started the business FTM Fitness World officially. And I mean, the website itself, I had to do a lot of blog, WordPress. I learned how to code. I stayed up all night. Sometimes, you know, it was a hobby, and I became very passionate about it. And it was a lot of work, but it was just this fire in me that was like, this is pretty neat. You know, not only I'm learning new skills, but I'm doing something, you know, for the community that I didn't realize it was going to impact people so much. I realized it when I started to receive emails, not just from a lot of trans guys here, but from trans guys all over the world. Literally, like in Asia, in Africa, in the Middle East, in Europe, everywhere I was receiving emails related to, not only to fitness, but also just people telling me their story. And with that, with the stories, I realized that fitness should not be the only focus of FTM Fitness World, right? Even though I had already called it that, and this is why I said it was fitness for the mind, body, and spirit, right? Because I realized that one of my favorite topic, which has always been emotional intelligence, I realized that it was lacking from the perspective of, you know, in trans spaces, we like to talk about fitness, we like to talk about sex, and then we talk about money when we have to raise money, you know, for surgeries and things like that. But we don't talk about the baggages that we carry from our past lives into a new life. We look great, we feel great, but sometimes inside it's still a mess. So I wanted to create something that could make a trans man, I was focusing on men at the time, into a well-rounded individual. And I figured the conference would be great to do that. At first, I thought, well, maybe one day. Yeah. And then I started receiving so many emails of people asking recommendations of where they can go compete without being discriminated against, or where they can go compete, like, even though they have scars, or, you know, even though they don't have surgery or things like that. And So I started a poll. I created a poll, and I asked people, you know, in the FTM Fitness group, I asked, what do you guys think about having our own bodybuilding competition? And a lot of people say that would be amazing and things like that. So we did that. Well, at first, you know, I won't say, yeah. They said, yes, so we did that. No, it didn't happen like that, of course. But I said, you know what? Actually, that works out because we could do that conference. And then the highlight would be the bodybuilding competition. And, of course, it's like that idea, but there's that fear. And I'm like, yeah, maybe one day. Sure. Yeah, one day, one day. And then I realized that if I keep saying one day, it will never happen.
Yeah.
Especially when I started to notice that a lot of trans people were discriminated in the entire fitness industry, not just, you know, in sports, everyone, not just in the bodybuilding competitions, but everywhere. So I decided it was probably the perfect timing to do it then. So with only a few months left, I gathered a few people over at my place and I said, come on, let's try to put it together, let's make it work. And, you know, it was very stressful. It taught me a lot of skills, whether I wanted to or not. But it was totally worth it because, you know, people still had that space that they came and it was a space. It didn't matter where that space was. They didn't care where it was. It was just the fact that, wow, we actually have something like that and I hope I can come back next year, you know. From the pictures, they could see, wow, a bodybuilding competition just for people like me. I'm definitely coming back next year. So, yeah, that's pretty much the vision. That's how it started.
So what would you like to see this event look like next year? In your mind, when you look a year into the future, what does this event look like for you? I mean, other than the two tracks, I mean, for growth or for new sessions or for new competitions or events or whatever, what does that really look like for you?
Well, not just for next year, but hopefully even bigger and better for future years. I want to see us express more in some way why it's important for us, even more important for trans men to even want to be into bodybuilding or to take care of their body, because I can relate to that myself personally more than I can relate to regular bodybuilding competition for cisgender people, because I can see why trans men want to do that after finally starting to love their body. And so I kind of want to be able to show that image. I don't want it to grow into how the traditional bodybuilding world grew into, where it's the image, it's the physics and stuff like that. I want it to be where we also touch the stories and we touch the individuals and we touch the people in the audience. And because as much as we need that foundation to create this space where we can invite people from outside to come and watch a show, this is great because as much as it grows, then we can have that space to also use the opportunity to educate those people on what it is to be trans, because some people might not know what it is to be trans but hear about this amazing competition and come see a show. But if we can still touch them and educate them, that's how we can change the world. That's what I'm hoping.
So do you have a date or a weekend yet picked out for next year where we're looking at, you know, when this is going to be?
Yes, I actually do. It's going to be here again at Ramada Plaza, and I'm hoping to do it on October 6, 7, and 8.
October 6, 7, and 8.
I want to keep it where it's the first weekend of October each year.
Yeah. So we've talked to a number of people that are getting a lot of things out of this conference and even talked to some presenters about, you know, why they felt it was important to present here, why other attendees feel it's important to have conferences like these. And obviously, we want to know from you, like, where this idea came from and stuff like that. But even though you're so giving of yourself to this conference, like, this is, you know, your baby, and it takes a lot of your energy and yourself, and I know that you have also a great staff.
Right.
But I'm sure that you still get something from it. So what is it that the founder of this gets from this conference every year?
year.
What do you get from this conference?
For me, I feel that I get more than everybody else because I get a lot of growth throughout the year. Because it's easy. I've gone to conferences before, and I'm a believer in events, whether that's trans related, whether it's spiritual related, whether it's business related. I love events. I love seminars. I love workshops. I love things like that. And every time I go there, I feel great. I feel amazing. And then I go back on Monday, my life starts again. It's like, you know, you have to kind of like, okay, remember the notes you took, or remember this and that. You know, that's I like to stress that to people. But for me, it doesn't end, because that drive, that inspiration that I got by having people who liked it, who enjoyed it, who got changed from it, who connected with other people and things like that, that tells me you got to keep pushing. That means when I go back on Monday, I go back to work to make it better. So for me, it's kind of, it pushes me to keep my commitment, to keep my hard work, to keep, you know, not just my word, but to keep, you know, waking up in the morning and thinking, wow, I have a bigger purpose now. So this is what this is doing for me. It's really giving me a lot of growth.
Awesome. So in your ideal world, what do you hope that people get out of this event? Like, tons of people are coming in, they're spending time in these sessions. What do you hope that they really walk away from this conference with each time?
Each time, it's really, this is why I really want to keep stressing that there is a theme each year. It's not always easy to implement it, even though I try, but eventually it's going to pick up. But the theme that I wanted to have this year is the warrior within you, because I wanted to teach resiliency and the characteristics of a warrior or things like that. And what I really want people to get, if they miss anything and they forget anything that they learned or they took notes, I want them to learn about community, you know, sticking for each other always and being there for each other, not making it just about you, but also about how you, as you, impact your whole community and just growing from that. There are a lot of conferences that stress that, the stress community, and the community sometimes stays to just for the event, during the event. But I really want people to actually be able to look at a person and hug a person. Hi, my name is so-and-so. How are you? And by the time they finish the conference, they hug them for even longer and say, I can't wait to see you again, or let's talk next year, or give me a call when you need something, or wow, I can't believe I know so many people that are trans in my town, but I've never reached out to them, or things like that, right? Just the idea that there are people out there that are like me, that could learn from what I've learned from this weekend, and if they cannot come here, how me living my life can impact them in a positive way. That's what I hope.
So that's our show for this month. If you'd like more information on the FTM Fitness Conference, or if you'd like to donate to make next year's conference even better, you can go to ftmfitnessconference.com. I'd like to thank Will, JB, Owen, Alexandria, Liam, and Neo for taking the time to share their thoughts and experiences with me during this great event. As always, I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in. If you're inspired by this event and you just can't wait until next year to connect with great trans folks at a similar conference, the Peach State Conference is coming up fast on Halloween weekend, and it's also located in Atlanta. For more information about this conference or to register to attend, head over to www.thea.com.
thea-plus.org. That's www.thea-plus.org. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next month on The Strong Stance.